This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we are talking to Bravo celebrity, Summer House favorite, Hannah Berner. We talked to Hannah about her unique title for her fiance, how she feels now about how the reunion played out, and how she is now pursuing her stand-up career. But first, let's chat about this weekend. Eric, I saw you went to some live music, man. I missed that. I haven't really done that yet. So how was that, dude?
I did. It was great to see a live show again. It was good catching up with Matt. Matt Stell was the show I went to. And if you guys don't know him, he's an up-and-coming artist, and pay attention to him because he's going to have a pretty good career ahead of him. And yeah, it was just great. It was great hanging out with the boys again, being side stage.
Just... Dude, what's the energy like in the room with the audience, man?
So I think it's a little different because it was in a college town. So I think they were already gone, a lot of the students. But it's there. It was a smaller room.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, people are ready to go.
No, and it's... I can't wait.
Oof. Hey, as producer of this show, I think we buried the lead. What happened in LA this weekend?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was about to say I didn't get a rose. I got a lot of whiskey.
I'm over here going, well, good for Eric for getting to go to a country concert, but what the hell's up with the rose?
I'll tell you what, that video did go pretty viral. I'm not gonna lie. I woke up in a panic because I was tagged in like 20 things. And when that happens, that's usually like a bit, you know, like something bad. Or 99% of the time it's something bad. And I popped up and I just noticed I was tagged in that video like fucking by every single Batch fan page. Yeah, it was a fun night. Friday night, a bunch of us went out. It's me, Becca, Kendall, and a bunch of other friends, a couple producers. So it was really fun catching up. I mean, we had a fun night. But I will tell this rose story because it was actually pretty wild. So we were sitting there. We had just honestly started talking. Like we kind of mentioned, we started talking about the show a little bit. And I always kind of give her jabs, you know, about like how everything played out. And literally right as I said that, in the middle of the restaurant, one of those street rose guys comes walking up and he was like, do you guys want a rose? And I was like, no fucking way did that just happen, you know? And then I don't know who bought it, but somebody bought the rose and was like, you got to give it to him. So it was a funny moment. And yeah, it was fun. We had a lot of fun together.
So was it a final rose or is this a first impression rose again?
This was a drunken bar rose in a way. That's what this was. I will say that night was super fun. I think I had my most LA moment of all time. So Kendall, for some reason, has like a friend's car. Something happened to her car. We were cruising through LA in a fucking BMW top off, jamming to Natasha Bedingfield, like just having the time of our lives driving through LA. So it was a really cool time. I had a blast out in LA and went to a birthday party on Saturday. And yeah, it was almost too much fun. I'm just now recovered. But it was a fun weekend. It was a fun weekend.
Anything else?
Nothing else. Nothing else. Sorry, guys. I'm not going to give you the
no
tea.
No kissing and telling? Damn it. Come on. Give us that clickbait.
No, not giving the tea. It was a fun weekend. We'll just leave.
So we have a question from a listener here.
Oh, God. Oh, I was like, fucking A.
But is there any teasing at all? Like, I mean, right? Will we see you on a beach?
Probably not. No.
Damn it.
Probably not. You know, I don't know. Yeah. It was a fun week. There were some good conversations had. We'll leave it at that. There were some good conversations.
I'd rather see you guys connect organically. Anyway.
Some good conversations. Yeah, like I said, it was a fun weekend and I just recovered just in time to go to Chicago this weekend.
And what's happening there?
Playing a show, baby. Show night, May 22nd, this Saturday, baby, out in Chicago. We're playing at 115 Bourbon Street, guys. Come out. It's going to be wild. We're rolling deep. I think you said that. We're rolling deep this weekend. We got a crew with us from Bachelor Nation. So you guys, if you're out in Chicago, come out to the show Saturday night at 115 Bourbon. I'm playing pretty early too, guys. I'm playing at like 9:30. It's probably the earliest show I've ever played. So come out. It's going to be a fun time out in Chicago. Some of them boys might be the last you'll see of them for a while until they're on television.
Yeah, some of them might be going to a beach.
Yeah, they might be on the beach. So we'll see.
Can we say who's coming? Or
I don't see why not. Dude, there actually are a lot. So let's see.
There's a lot. There's seven.
Yeah, you, me. Then there's Bukowski, Rendon, Pilot Pete, Clay Harbor, Joe. Grocery store.
And
Joe.
Obviously Kenny.
Kenny. Oh,
from
and
Clarentatious season. Who this is actually, this is a fun fact about Kenny. Where you're performing, he has been the talent booker for 115 Bourbon Street for like the last 18 years.
Yeah. So shout out to Kenny for getting us booked out there and hopefully play there a lot more because the show is going to be wild, I have a feeling. And dude, get this. A guy from my season, Mike Renner, he was the long-haired guy from my season. He's like, don't be out in Chicago. I'm going to come out. I was like, hell yeah. So that'd be like a 9 Basher people. So.
And there might be someone from this season.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, man. But yeah, so come out, guys. It's going to be a fun night for sure. It's going to be wild, actually. It's going to be really wild.
Come see the whitest DJ set in the world.
Yeah, it's whiter even more now because I'm opening up for a boy band. I had to make it whiter. Like, I can't be playing too much.
Eddie, what would you like to hear in this set?
I am glad that you're playing at 9:50. I could actually go. Still be in bed by 11.
Seriously, though. This is great for me, too, because I usually don't drink that much at night. Like, at my sets, but I'll be done by 10:30. I'm gonna get hammered.
If it's gonna be opening for a boy band, dude, you gotta be doing some Stop Playing Games With My Heart and shit.
Yeah,
like
I mean
that.
I'm gonna be playing some, I don't want to steal their playlist though.
Yeah, what songs can we not play? I'm gonna have to get that from Kenny.
I'm only playing one like serious boy band song because I actually like took some out. I was like,
you gotta play some O-Town, 98 Degrees.
See, I don't want to play their music though. Fuck. That's literally what they play. But yeah, it should be fun. And so now our chat with Hannah Berner behind the Rose. Hannah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thank you.
Good to see
you
again.
Super excited about this one.
Oh.
He's a huge Summerhouse fan.
Oh,
I wouldn't
really?
Say huge Summerhouse fan, but I really enjoy really fucking trashy television.
He's a big Bravo guy.
I do. I like Bravo.
You can appreciate the spectacle.
Yeah, it's like I enjoy The Bachelor. I just like drama. It's fun.
Yeah, I feel like reality TV is very close to like sports, but even more of an art form, you know?
It is.
Right?
But Eric does watch it. He's not a normal viewer. Like, yeah, he watches it like it's a sport.
Well, I come from the sports world, so it's like...
Yeah.
Same. Me too. But I also, I appreciate the backwards hat vibe. One of my like original tweets was just, do I like him or does he wear his hat backwards? And you guys are the problem. You're the problem, both of you.
The only reason I get laid is because we talked about this. My height and my backwards hat. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Blakely, you were so easy to become a just character on TV.
Oh, God,
just based on those two things. You didn't have to speak. You were like the perfect caricature of a douchebag. But
yeah,
But when you speak, you're so much sweeter.
Well, thank you.
But it makes it like you complex, you know.
There we go. Exactly. I'll say
you surprise people.
Yeah, me and Hannah have been on a couple pods now. We've done like three pods now. This is our third or fourth pod.
Yeah, so. Now we psychoanalyze each other because two podcasts means like you know my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
Seriously. Especially the podcast we were on. Like, I feel like we got real deep on that Valentine's Day pod. Got real deep.
Nervous laughter. Nervous laughter. No pun intended.
Oh, man.
Well, you were on a Valentine's pod with three girls and we were like going in and then we were like, speak for all men. What's the reason? And you were like, I just want to have fun today. So
is he a good spokesperson for all men though?
Well, I feel like these Bachelor guys are quite self-aware because they're forced to reflect on feelings they would never reflect on.
Yeah. I remember like, I think on your pod, I brought up like the five love languages. You're like, you know, you're on The Bachelor when you know your five love languages. I was like, it's so true though.
No dude can list it unless he's been on The Bachelor. Yeah. But yeah, your awareness of love, I feel like becomes so apparent. I feel like so many guys don't even think about like the idea of love until they're like 37 and...
Yeah. Well, shit, that's where I'm at. Fuck.
Okay, Eric, it's time. Eric, are you single?
I am.
It's time.
It is.
It's time.
It is time.
It's time.
I was, Blakely, I was joking before. I love how I'm going on monologues.
This is your pod. It's fine.
Blakely goes, what do you want to talk about? And I go, okay, I have a lot of shit to get off my
chest. There's a lot to unravel here.
Lots to unravel. But I'm with an older man's. He's 45. Yep. And I've had terrible taste in men before. But like, everyone goes through that to like learn what they want. But everyone's like, did you find the one non-fuckboy in Manhattan? And I was like, no, I found a retired one. And that's how you settle down.
I love that so much. A retired fuckboy. Like,
he's not chasing women around the streets because he's on the verge of arthritis. And like, he goes to bed at 9 p.m. So like, even if he wanted to, he physically can't.
Physically can't chase women.
But he's still like as charming and handsome, but like, he's fucking burnt. And that's just like, I feel like if I met him at 32, we'd ruin each other's lives. But now he's like the love of my life.
That's so, ladies listening, go find yourself a man on the verge of arthritis.
I told him that joke this morning that I was doing about him. And he goes, no, I actually do have arthritis in my hip. So like, you're right. He's like, it's been bothering me and I think it's arthritis. He's like, pass the Advil and shut up.
Oh, that's so great. So let's get into that, because I want to talk about, surprisingly, there's a few people I know that have found love in 2020, and I don't get it. Like, how did you do that? Like, 2020 was such a shit show. Like, God. How did you do that?
Well, I've been saying like, I found love in a hopeless place during a pandemic. And that was my Instagram DMs.
Oh, okay. That's where it all went.
That's when it went down. But it's funny because I was in the darkest place. Like, I was 29, living with 5 cats and my parents in quarantine on like an island in Long Island. And I had this Instagram psychic, as one does, say like, there's a man walking towards you. And I'm like, bitch, I'm on an island. He's not walking. Maybe he's swimming, but like, I don't know what you're talking about. But apparently I was in his algorithm, you know, like I was popping up.
Oh, in the feed or whatever.
Like my algorithm search is just like people I hate and my ex that pops up. But like, he was, I guess he got me. And apparently I popped up on his Raya also, but he didn't pop up on mine because he was over my age.
I was going to say, you had the age limit. That's amazing.
And of course he's like, whatever ages guys do, he's like, anything.
Yeah, it's from 16 to 30. Like 30.
He's like 29 and a half, then they're dead to me. But I guess he saw me in an Insta story and like clocked me and was like, oh, I think she's cute. And then he saw that I was out in Long Island while he was in Long Island, but he's normally in Ireland, but the pandemic made him come back to the States. So the pandemic kind of was the only reason we got together. And I'd seen him at a comedy show 5 years ago. Oh. And thought he was really cute before I was in comedy. But he was talking about how he lives in Ireland. And I was like, oh, I guess I can't marry that guy. But I do think that the pandemic slowed things down for particularly a lot of guys, where it's like, okay, let's reflect a little. And then it's like, you're there alone. Who knows what people do in New York? Like, was all the cocaine worth it? Like, was, I don't know. And you're just sitting there alone with Disney Plus. And and I feel like some people were like, oh, like, I wish I had like a best friend. But then I feel like there were people who were dating people and then realized like, oh, when I'm not in my normal like partying or working a lot and I'm spending quality time with them, I realize like, I hate how they breathe. Or like, I just hate everything about them. Yeah, totally. Like, I love them, but I don't like them. So I do think transitions and like even hitting rock bottom is so important for at least a change. And I think for me, I had walls up before quarantine. Like, I'd been in a bad breakup and I was going through this weird, like, I'm just going to fuck male models. Like, I was like,
we all go through that phase, you know?
I don't judge what's going on in LA, you know? But I feel like I was trying to play the game where it's like, I can't get hurt because I'm not going to get emotionally attached to any of these dudes. And even if they really like me, it's like just making my ego feel good because I'll never date them. But like, it's just an ego trip to be like, look how hot this guy is. And like, I don't even want to be with him. And it's so, doesn't actually make you happy. And I feel like with him, because he's older, he doesn't have time for games. Like, he's going to die soon. So he...
He must love these age jokes that you just constantly...
but he's only 45, but which in man language is 23.
Yeah, it's still pretty
young. For sure.
Yeah. Right?
Forever 20s.
So I feel like with him early on, he was like, look, if you want to play games, like, it's totally fine. I just like, I'm not interested in that.
He just straight up said this to you.
Yeah. Like, I posted something like another guy had I was like posting other guys on my Instagram, and he was like, you know, it's, if you want to play games, I'm done. And I put my tail between my legs. And I'm normally like very prideful in relationships, and like, you can't hurt me, you can't touch me. I was just like, I am so sorry. That's not me. Like, I'm done with her. Like, I won't be that messy bitch. Are we on the same team here? Like, this is cool. And then he was just super upfront with stuff. And then I realized, like, oh, you can actually just be yourself with someone and be honest the whole time. And you don't have to, this is, as an athlete, like I've always learned in life, you work hard and you get a great result and you do great and people love you. But this is the first thing that, like, I didn't have any strategy. I didn't try and I got this result. And it kind of made me reflect on life. Like, just being is sometimes more important than forcing and strategizing and manifesting. It's like sometimes you just have to be you, which is corny, but I kind of learned from this.
Yeah. I feel like I just learned a lot, like, during the conversation. Like, I walked away with, like, okay.
No, well, when you start a relationship, you think, like, okay, I don't want to fuck this up. You start being result-oriented, and you think, okay, what can I do, obviously, to make this work? But then sometimes in that, you lose yourself. You find yourself, mental health is not healthy because you're, you know, compensating, overcompensating, compromising, whatever. Because at the end of the day, I've been with people who've hurt my mental health and I've lost myself. But that happens when you don't set boundaries and you don't know who you are.
I think the number one thing is, like, you have to find yourself first. Like, I've been a believer in that for a long time.
We'll be right back.
So you kind of had like an epiphany almost. Like, it feels like it was kind of a bit of an epiphany over, like, quarantine.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't think, like, I don't really know who I am, and it's evolving every day, but it's more like I was finally good with really being alone. Cause let's be honest, you're single, but, like, you have your roster, you're talking to people,
me?
You don't get enough
who,
attention.
Me?
One day. you got someone else who's texting. I was like, how would I be if I didn't have a dude texting me? Like, is that insane? Is that, like, the world's gonna fall apart? And it was just a lot of ego. And with him, it was just different. It was different where I didn't trick him. Mm. Or maybe I did, and I didn't even know I tricked him.
Surprise.
Yeah, I finally was alone. And this is gonna sound weird, but he's a lot of the time, like, things are romanticized. Like, I need this person. You need to need them. But it's the first guy where I'm like, he could leave me tomorrow and I'm good. Mm. I want him. Mm. Like, I'm so complete without him. And he knows that too. But, like, he just enhances. And I hate to be like your person is dessert, but it's like, they really are dessert. And dessert is not enough to keep you, like, your nutrients up.
Yes.
But it's good.
I love that. So I completely agree with you, because when people ask me, like, what are you looking for in the woman? Number one thing I always say is, like, I want a woman who wants a man but doesn't need a man.
But I always thought I was this, like, tough, you know, independent woman. But, like, when I'd fall for someone, I'd be like, oh, my God. And I'd, like, romanticize it and put them on this huge pedestal. And then, like, that's not – love is literally so boring. People don't talk about how boring love is. Love is knowing that the person you're with just cares about you, which is so fucking lame and boring. But it's like, that's why I think a quarantine broke a lot of people up, because you're not out to dinner with people. You're not taking photos in Tulum. You're sitting on the couch, and that has to actually be enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time you're not even talking.
Yeah.
And he's going to fart and you're going to fart.
Exactly.
Like, let's talk more about that.
Nobody wants to hear about that kind of love, you know?
No, well, it's
but
so,
that's, like, real love.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, The Bachelor, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's the most fucked up love. Like, it's just like, the epitome of, like, what?
I would fall in love with a fucking Beanie Baby if they put me on some of those days.
Like, that is the line of the fucking podcast.
And that's why I think quarantine, like, you got intense emotions, because you were like, I'm in a hole of despair. And you had to be with people who were healthy for you, because it was really evident because everyone was about to snap. So if the person wasn't right for you, I feel like they were like, get it out, get it out.
Yeah, I agree. They, like, Everybody was ready. I feel like some people are still on the verge of snapping. You're like, we're still not even through it.
Yeah, no, we're all snapping.
Yeah, like, people snapped a couple times, you know? Like, that's what I feel like.
Well, I snapped all summer. But what's also funny is that the summer of snapping was when he was getting to know me, which is, Blake, I'm so good at being the chill, like, the chill girl. I'm so fucking good at it. Your girl was crying on the phone every night. So if that's not like,
and he's still there. Like
maybe it was like, cause it was so intense. Like I can't explain it to you, but every girl or guy who's strategizing on how to act for the person to like them, stop. Because I literally had a mental breakdown every night. And he was like, I just knew you were the one.
Wow. That's so cool though. That's gotta be such a cool feeling. Like,
well, I feel like most relationships, you're like your best. And mm-hmm. then you start to like, you're like, oh no, I have to start showing my cracks. Oh God. And then like by the end, you're like, I hope he likes this actual version of me. But I say we reverse it. You start off with like, if it's like the classic of, we can't handle you, your worst, but like literally come through with the worst. Mm-hmm. Cause don't wait 6 months for your worst to come out. You don't have 6 months. Life is short.
Amen. Well, you did
start
some,
a
right.
fight on the first date. Start a fight on the first date.
This is who I am.
You definitely learn that as you get older. Like, let's just get to the point here and like, yeah, let's just put it all on the table now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't you, this is also a mass generalization, but tell me if you agree with me. I feel like the issues that you have in like the first month are still the same issues you'll have in 12 months.
Yeah.
Like I know these people who like their only thing was, oh, he wants to live on the East Coast and she wants to live on the West Coast. 3 years later, it's still what they're fighting about.
Yeah. Or like, we want kids, he wants kids, I don't. Or like, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's like, you know, right away, like the flags are there, you know?
Yeah. So sometimes like you have to be just honest with stuff and what you want to deal with. And people don't really change at their core. Like, you could get a guy to like clean up a little more after himself.
Right.
Get him to put the seat down. Get him to start watching The Bachelor with you. But like, core elements of like how they communicate or that kind of stuff why would you want to like train a dude?
And I feel like some girls like that. They're like, some girls like the, and men like the idea of like a project, I think, in a way, you know, which I don't, was just toxic AF. So,
well, yeah, because it's like almost codependent, like, mm-hmm. like, oh, well, I made you, or like, oh, you need me now, because who would you be without that? Oh yeah. It really has to be this like beautiful connection that like isn't dependent, even though I obviously love to be with him 24/7, but there's a healthiness of like not a need. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. That's what we're looking for, you know. Everybody out there is looking for that, so it's pretty cool you found it. And like you said, in the most hopeless times, like
the most sad times. But I also think like when you say what you're looking for, I used to be so result oriented, like if a relationship went bad, it's like, oh, I failed. Where I try to change the language, where it's like, no, this is called researching. It's not dating, it's researching. Because like, you guys have been in a lot of relationships, and if I hadn't dated the guys I dated, I would have never been able to flag Dez as like marriage material.
I like that idea of like saying it's more of like experimenting, like you're researching, you know,
research.
You're like researching.
Yeah, because it's not just like, oh, this is the kind of woman that everyone wants to be with. It's like, we all need to be with different kinds of people that match us in like such complex ways of like how they were raised, how their mom speaks to them, and how your mom spoke to you. Like, it's so nuanced, but you just know certain characteristics that you're like, yeah, I don't have the time to deal with that. A lot of it's just like being good at fighting.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I agree with that. Being good at like fighting and arguing and like, because that's like the hardest, those are the hardest parts of a relationship.
Well, filming The Bachelor, like how often do you have a normal fight with the person besides
Never.
Like, you're dating other people.
And even then, it's not really a fight.
You ever get in a fight, your first fight with someone, you go, oh, like that's how we're going to go about it?
Yes.
Some guy calls you like a fucking like bitch and you're like, what? Like, that's how you talk? Like, the second a guy like throws the beep, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So you see these sides of people and how they fight, and or they're just like super like prideful and like don't want to talk and ignore you for 4 days and
just
it's
walk
like
away type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to find a person that you're like great at fighting with, and you have to always realize, look at me pretending I'm a relationship coach because I got engaged once for a second. Literally got engaged 2 days ago, and I'm like, this is what love is. Oh my God. I guess I think about it a lot.
And like you said, you're on TV. Like you're like you are very self-aware. Like other like can step back and take a look at like yeah.
Yeah, and so. Everyone's judging you all the time, so it's like, oh, let's judge myself a little
harder. Most of the time, you judge yourself harder too.
Oh yeah. Harder. So anyway, that was my TED Talk.
I enjoyed that, and I think our listeners will enjoy that. But I do want to back up a little bit because let's go back to what you said. I'm going way back a little bit here. An Instagram psychic? What the fuck is that? Like, do I need to find myself an Instagram psychic?
Oh
what
my
is
God.
That? That psychic crazy. Stirred up some shit, too.
Yeah, he knows in the season. I basically, during the pandemic, like, everyone's just on their phone. I was doing all these lives, and I was, like, meeting this, like, great community of people who just were bored as fuck. And I had this woman, like, reach out to me during some hard times, and we just started talking. She's more of a friend. I'm actually too scared to get, like, a real psychic to read me because I'm fucking scared of that shit. What do they say you're gonna get hit by a car tomorrow? Like, I don't need that stress in my life. Yeah. But and she just would message me stuff randomly, and I think it's fun. Yeah. I also love people who don't look at the world the same as other people, and I think it's interesting when someone has insight in some type of way to things, to life, because we don't know what the fuck's going on in this world.
Nobody does, exactly.
And I'm not gonna preach how much I love psychics. However, I feel like in all like cultures, there's some type of a psychic. Like in Italy, there's like a nonna who like knows about the future, the wise older person. And like, it's just interesting to me where I just feel like some people are more connected with their intuition than others.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, I think you always need to surround yourself with like differing opinions and like differing beliefs, and because like I think you can learn from all that. So I think,
and like, you guys believe in cryptocurrency, I believe in psychics, like whatever, we're the same. Wait, do you guys believe in horoscopes?
I don't know if I don't believe in it, but like I don't like base my life off of like
Eric. That was such a Scorpio thing to say.
No, but I'm so far from that. I'm a fucking fish. So
you're Pisces.
I am.
Look at her judging you. Look at her judging you right now. That's why I hate that.
But you know
so
what? Everything like that they say about a Pisces is so accurate, though.
I know.
I'm not going to lie. Like,
that's the way horoscopes work. It's like, no, it's not real. And they start reading it. You're like, oh, that is me. Like, yeah. Oh, shit.
It's so funny. I was talking about Dogecoin, or however the fuck you say it, and everyone's saying, it's going to the moon. And I go, really? Sounds like astrology to me. Fuck boys. That's what horoscopes are about, the moon.
Oh man, okay, yeah. we can go on those all day. I feel like give me a topic,
we'll go.
Yeah, exactly. Cryptocurrency, that's the first time that's been mentioned on this podcast.
This is now a finance
thank you for
podcast.
That yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. Let's talk about like your summer and everything, because the first thing you said on the podcast was like, yeah, I've made some mistakes. Like, that was like the first thing you said when you were like, I have too many podcasts. How was the summer for you?
This last one? Mm-hmm. So this last summer was very difficult because the show Summer House was always filmed just on the weekends and you'd work during the week. So like you might have a little scuffle with someone. Yeah. And then you'd like go back, you'd meditate on it. You'd pet your cat. You'd call your mom. I mean, it was brutal. Like on Fridays, we'd drive 5 hours, but that's part of it. Like by the end of the trip, you're like, you can't stand anyone and you like start drinking. But I had started my stand-up tour in March. So it was like DC, LA, San Francisco, and then COVID hit. Oh. And I was like, okay, I need to get into like virtual shit. I got to do my podcast. We have Giggly Squad, we're Burning in Hell, and like doing lives and making funny videos. I was just like trying my hardest to like stay creative and stay motivated. And then we're stuck in the house, and it's my third season, and that's when like everyone, you're not really playing nice anymore. And everyone, I mean, you know, Bachelor Nation. And then there's like, you know, obviously a lot of egos involved. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went in being like, previously I would be afraid to stand up to certain people. Mm-hmm. And then I went in this season and I was like, I'm going to stand up to those people. And if you stand up to certain people, it doesn't bode well for you.
Like in a show, especially like in a show that's like more or less unedited reality television show. Yeah.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. I'm, And I was, you know, had hour long fights that I would eventually, you know, get very upset. But I also deep down know, like, that's what do they want to see me on Zoom calls the whole time? So like I was out here like reacting, experiencing, being vulnerable, being open. Mm-hmm. And women should be allowed to get angry. Women should be allowed to, you know, get frustrated, get upset. But I'm proud of myself for standing up for myself. And then we had a reunion.
Yeah, that went pretty rough.
She just starts laughing. She just starts laughing. Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh my God. The reunion was so bad. I basically was like, okay, go in. Don't cry. Cried the whole time. Cried the whole time.
Walked off the stage, right? A couple times.
Did walk up. Did have one walk off. But that's just, you know, part of the game. And it was 8 hours. I got yelled at for 8 hours. Oh. And at the point, I mean, you've done the type of like after the final roast.
I had
thing,
that kind of reunion too, where
and
I got,
you did.
Like,
you're in, you knew you're in the hot seat. Yeah. But then it starts to become like, wait, what are you guys mad about? Yeah. Because there's the reaction of like, are you guys talking about what really happened or what people on the internet are like have conspiracy theories about? Like, but it was brutal.
That'd
and
be
it was
so hard.
It was terrible for my mental health. And there's that like group mentality where like if enough people say something, it's like it's true.
Yep. Oh, yep.
You get it, don't you?
I do get it. I was in that fucking hot seat.
And then you start feeling crazy because you're like, you guys know.
I left there going like,
you guys
wait,
know
like,
what happened. Yeah. So how are you all now? Like, what kind of meeting was I not invited to? For people watching reality TV, if you just see like a hyperbole that gets repeated over and over again, like that's just an accusation that's being made with no like logic behind it. But I got engaged in between the reunion and when the show, well, while the show aired, yeah. And they made the engagement about them that I didn't tell them. And I was like, why would I?
Yeah. I do. I do remember that. I remember reading about that and everything. Yeah, that's such a weird thing to like make the reunion about, right?
Well, yeah, it was, I basically like got engaged, told my family and like five of my closest friends. And then like 2 weeks later, I was allowed to go public with it. And that's when like majority, like people I've known for 10 years found out on Instagram. Like it wasn't like a fuck you to everyone I know. It was like such a beautiful day. And people also, because like I don't post about him a lot on Instagram, they assume that like I just met this guy yesterday. And yeah, there's a lot of people think they know things and have opinions on things. But I just really want to make people laugh. Like, honestly, I'm like, it's like, yeah, like I want to entertain people. But sometimes it's like, is this that entertaining? Trying to like tear down someone's relationship or someone's, you know, yeah. Yeah, it's a thin line between like the fighting is, you know, relatable and fun versus like, it, like what are we
tired
fighting
almost?
About?
Like, yeah, like
yeah.
A, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, no, like totally. Just the petty. Like, are you mad about this, or are there bigger reasons that we're upset now? And yeah.
I do think like you handle yourself well, and we'll get into like kind of mental health and everything. So we'll do that right after this. Me and Eric were talking before we hopped on, like you have a very big fan base and loyal fan base. And I think it's because you're not afraid to speak your mind. You're not afraid to be who you are. And you're funny and you can like make things
Thank
like
you.
That are very serious, funny. So it's cool to see like this like loyal following that you've built like kind of on your own, you know, not with the help of the show necessarily. You know what I mean?
The show might have been detrimental to
in spite of the show.
In spite of the show. But that's like when I first did reality TV, like everyone was like, it's not crazy that reality TV has been bad for my mental health. Like I don't tell that to anyone. They're like, hot take, Hannah. They're like, no shit, you stupid bitch. And sorry, I shouldn't speak to myself like that. But we're working on positive self-talk. But like this is the problem, like everyone needs to listen to Blake's episode on Burning in Hell, because I was going through a real dark time when I was talking to you, and having someone who was in a similar position talk about his story and his experience on The Bachelor was amazing. And afterward, I like called my mom and I was just like, I feel so connected and understood. Oh. But my first two seasons were awesome on Summer House. But that's when you start trusting things a little too much.
Yep. Yep. And then they know that.
But with that said, people the first two seasons saw a side of me that was like funny and like didn't want to be involved in drama and like, you know, making mistakes with boys, but so normal. And then this last season, some people were acting like, well, Hannah is a, like someone took over her body and she's a new human. Like I'm the same person I was those last two seasons, but granted it was a pandemic and you saw me get into fights with people. Mm-hmm. And I'm also like, I'm so scared of confrontation. But in my like athlete mind, I'm like, this is what you have to do. Like, you have to stand up for yourself and like, you're going to be a feminist icon and like, everyone's going to be proud of you and you're doing this. It's so hard and you're going against like the hierarchy and the patriarchy. Yeah. And then it aired and it was like, no, she's crazy and has really bad daddy issues because her dad was her coach growing up. So now she just attacks people for no reason. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's so true, because sometimes you have an idea, like especially as it's like being filmed, you're like, oh, this is how it's gonna look, this is what I'm going for, and then you watch back like, ruh-roh, like fucking, this is not
fucking row. And then it's funny because I haven't been online in a while for my mental health, and my friends will like think they're helping me and they're like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, what? And they're like, it's so bad. I'm so sorry. I'm like, what's bad? And they're like, oh, you haven't. Oh, I'll send it to you. I'm like, don't send it to me. I'll spiral for 8 hours. But yeah, there's this concept of like the like imaginary best friend. I think Summer House is very relatable. But then those same people like to be like, we used to like you, but now we hate you. So it's like, you just feel like you're losing friends that don't even know you.
I remember when I was going through my season, there was one meme that popped up everywhere. And it was that meme where it was like, we were rooting for you. That fucking Tyra Banks meme or whatever. We were rooting for you. Like I had that meme all over everywhere.
Well, I totally forgot you were like the man's.
I also had a very good first season, like you talked
about.
But
a great first season.
Not very true. I just trusted a little
too
much. Oh,
God. No, but also like, that's also just great. TV, the like people started writing, they were like the downfall, and I'm like, what's happening, the downfall? And then you don't realize what you have. But also, I'm not that cool of a girl that they thought I was my first two seasons, and I'm not that crazy of a girl you think I am this last season. And you said that to me. You were like, the person you guys love is not as gray as you think. And the person you guys hate is actually, a lot of the time, they're like the honest ones or the ones that like aren't like kind of the black sheep that's not going with like whatever
playing
like
the game,
lie is
the
going
game.
Or they're not, or they're just not. And a lot of the time when they're not in a part of the game, it's because they're getting like a different kind of attention, which might have been positive that other people weren't getting.
Yep.
I don't know, but all I know is I read some articles on reality TV and like how to make someone a villain, and I was like, why are we reading this now? Why did we think that we could just walk in and wing it? Eric, do you have any thoughts? I've been talking too much.
No, I'm just taking this. I'm just a sponge right now. I'm just a sponge.
Oh, fuck. But yeah, Blake, we'll get coffee one day. And
we're going to come out there. We were talking in June, I think. That
would be
that
awesome. Side.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll grab coffee. We could do this all day. Just like, our stories are so similar. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and because I watched both your seasons. But also, the average watcher is not that invested. The average watcher, like when I watched your season, I was like, okay, he pulls. Like he gets women. And then I remember kind of, but like I low-key was like into it. So I was like, okay, well, yeah, like he gets girls, but he's not trying to murder anyone.
Right.
We've all had that miscommunication. But yeah, at some point, the drama gets so intense because of the internet that we're like, what are we fighting it about? Is it about trash? Or is it about, like, did I fuck your boyfriend? Like, what, where is the, and then, yeah.
Anyway. I think a lot of people oftentimes will, like, project like their issues, obviously, like let's say for my example, like I'm sure there are some girls out there who have felt like they were played or whatever, and so they just took it out on me. They were just like, fuck you, like you're a fucking piece of shit, you know. I think that's kind of how
but it's so funny how you went from being like America's boyfriend, everyone wants to date him, to being like, no, he is the biggest, most horrible person. But that's also what the internet's doing in general to people mm-hmm. who have attention. You know, you find someone who said something like 3 years ago that was problematic and you want them to grow, but it is exciting for people to demonize someone and be like, we didn't know this, but they're secretly the devil.
Exactly. The fall from grace. People love that. I remember Chris Harrison, the first thing he said to me when I sat down in the hot seat was like, so how was it like your fall from grace? I was like, fuck me, right? Like, okay, I guess we're just going to get right into this.
That's the writer's room.
Yeah.
That's Shakespeare.
Their storyboard been entertaining. Was like, Blake, boom, just like, boom, just explode. Yeah, that was the
you
storyboard.
Know what? This is going to get like a little deep, but when that stuff happens to you, you feel like, just like used and abused.
Oh. Chewed and up and spit
you almost
out.
Feel violated, yeah, mm-hmm. and you, because you trusted.
Yeah, I was in Mexico with some other Bachelor Nation people this last week, and there was a moment where I was like, it hurts. Like it hurts when people you trusted lie to your face, lie about you, and use you. Like it fucking hurts, you know. Like mm-hmm. it sucks. It's not mm-hmm. a cool feeling, you know.
But also, I feel like so many people who watch Summer House or The Bachelor, they have that relatability. But then it's funny because then the trolls. I'm like, at no point have you ever fought with someone's boyfriend who you felt treated someone wrongly, and he's yelling at you for an hour, and you might say something ridiculous and walk away. Mm-hmm. Like, is that insane? Like, look at the worst moments of your life and imagine people wanting to get that out of you. Like, let's.
That's literally their job. It's like, bring the worst out of you.
And as someone who's a perfectionist and like, clearly we're in this industry because we're obsessed with people liking us. Mm-hmm. I guess I needed this. Like, I needed this moment. And it did make me realize, like, you're also not the girl that people are, you know, putting on this crazy pedestal as, like, the coolest, funniest, most awesome chick. Mm-hmm. Like,
See, that right there, though, is, like, a ton of growth. Like, you just have, like, most people don't think that way. Like, that was a very good way to think about it, you know?
Yeah, and it's, and fame is so, like, fleeting and so quick, and you just... You lose control, but it's starting to make me just realize, like, the only control you have is, like, the simple things in life. Like, you'll get those highs from those... You'll get highs when, you know, you're VIP sitting here getting shit. But that's... You don't go to sleep at night feeling content from that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've done reflection in therapy.
you've done the growth. You've done the...
I'm in therapy. But having, like, you as an example of someone who, like... A lot of people, like I talked to Olivia Caridi years ago, mm-hmm. and I hadn't even seen her season. I had her on my podcast. She was great. And she was like, I can't touch it yet. I can't even watch it. Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm going to move myself.
Yeah, she had a bad one too.
Yeah,
she was. And to see that you've been able to like work through it is pretty cool. I mean, you're probably going to evolve in different ways, obviously, but... That you're able to like have empathy for it, or like see the big picture and not just burn the house down.
Yeah, it's been a blessing in disguise. Like I feel like I can, like I've had a lot of like new contestants of the show reach out to me because they're like, "You've seen the top," like you said, "You've seen the top, you've seen the bottom." Like help, and I'm like, "I can do this." Is the one thing I know how to do now. I can help you through this shit show. Yeah,
this might be too much. You don't have to answer, but do you feel like if you didn't post your kind of receipts mm-hmm. that you'd be in a different place now?
I don't know if I would have made it through. I don't think I would have made it through. I would have felt so helpless and like silenced and like I just, there was nothing I could do. And I released the receipts like right after the first episode, but there's still three more episodes of me just getting buried. So like, I don't think I would have made it through. I really don't think I would have made it through.
Sometimes you can't, or like you don't, it's not worth it to try to explain yourself
right
at a point, mm-hmm. and it's too deep or too nuanced or too complicated, and you have to kind of just like take the L and mm-hmm. walk.
Which I took a lot of L's. I just didn't want to take that one big L. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like there are certain instances where it's like, just fucking take it. Like, just fucking take it.
But it's hard because like, I do believe things are like karmic and how like, it's you one day, it's other people another day. I don't know why it is, but it's like, that's just how this industry is. We're mm-hmm. like, there has to be a new me, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. next.
Well, that was a good discussion. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
get into what you're doing now, Hannah. Like, you're back in the stand-up game. You're
oh
back
my
out
God.
There.
It's so exciting because I was so nervous because all my material was about why I'm single. And then quarantine hit. And now I'm like, okay, this is why I was single. But now this should happen. But being back on stage has been so therapeutic, so amazing to like just see real people and get real energy. And I feel like New Yorkers are so excited to laugh right now. Like I go on stage and they're just like the best crowds. And I'm going to launch, I'm going to announce like a real stand-up tour this summer where I'm going to try to like just bop around everywhere and have a great time.
Are you going to come to Comedy Works in Denver?
Hell yes. Hell yes. I've actually been there before.
Comedy Works Denver is actually, I think, pretty well known nationally.
It's very well respected.
Yes, exactly.
But I went there once, but I'd love to. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Let us know for sure. That's exciting though. I've never done anything like stand-up comedy. It terrifies me, the thought of like standing up there and trying to make people laugh. Because what do you do when they don't? Like, what do you do? You're just like,
so the funny thing about when they don't is then you can like make fun of it even more. Like I'll like make I made a joke about like Simba being a fuckboy and like people didn't laugh. And I was like, what is this, a Simba support group? Like, what is this? And then they laughed. Yeah. So it's like, you have to kind of, or like you'll make an awkward like sex joke and they won't laugh. And it's like, oh, you've never fingered a butthole before. So then you like get them laughing about that. So you kind of just, it's less like a speech and more of this like, conversation with the audience. You have to be really like in tune with what they're doing and how they're feeling, because you can't just talk at them and expect them to laugh. But it's been really fun, and the comedy audience is very different than the reality TV audience. Like obviously they some of them carry right. over, but my like podcast audience and my comedy audience are they know me in like a different way, which has been again great to have an outlet to like just like be fully yourself.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot like DJing. Like if they're not dancing, you just got to transition.
Exactly. Transition. Yeah. You can't just DJ and not be aware of what the crowd is giving you. Mm-hmm. And some crowds, it's funny, the comics, you never realize it, but the comics are obsessed with the crowds. Like they'll walk up and they'll be like, how's the crowd tonight? And they'll be like, oh, they're pretty smart. Or like, oh, they like the sex shit. Like they try to generalize. But it's also that group mentality where like someone might be like a little too drunk and everyone's feeling awkward, or like there's like a big bachelorette group and everyone's feeling very giggly. So it is, there's all these nuances. I've been doing like outdoor comedy where there's like a heater that's making weird noises and you're competing with the heater. So it's a fucking journey, but you get this kind of crazy high after, because you're doing something that's like a risk. But even when people don't laugh though, you feel like you feel proud of yourself, because you're just like, it's hard. Like no one bombs and people are like, you suck. Like they're like, yeah, it's a tough crowd. Tough crowd tonight.
Did your
I'm
best.
About to bomb too. Yeah. But yeah, the comedians are great. And I'm just very happy to be back on stage. And, you know, being in entertainment, reality TV has been such a great experience. And now, like, I'm really putting my heart into being more creative in comedy and seeing where that takes me.
That's awesome. I think stand up comedy is going to be like a bucket list of mine, like just to hop up open mic night and just try it.
Do you know how I started it? I know you're saying I started it because Caroline's on Broadway, which is like a great comedy club in the city, reached out and said, do you want to do a live Burning in Hell?
Oh.
So it was just like a live podcast, because you guys should definitely do a live podcast. It's really, really fun. But then my friend was like, I dare you to open with 10 minutes of stand up. And I was like, you're a bitch. But I'd been doing all these funny tweets, and I took my tweets and I was like, okay, I have a bunch of these about like cuddling. I have a bunch of these about like being hungry all the time. I have cats. I have like horoscopes. I have men. I have like love shit. And I started to kind of group them together and then expand on some or make some like a button of a joke. And I did it. And people were like, that was my favorite part of the show. Oh. First time I did comedy was in front of 250 people.
Whoa.
Like, I'm a crazy person.
That's a lot.
I don't know. Like, people liked it, but, like, obviously now I know, like, a lot more about stand-up. But I almost felt so calm on stage. Like, I felt like I was at a coffee date, like, with the audience, where I was just talking. But it's really, some people love it, and then some people love being the audience. It's just who you are. But you clearly are an entertainer at heart. And I could see you using your self-awareness to be able to, like, and observation skills to make some jokes.
That rush you talked about, there's nothing like it. Like, that's such a cool rush.
Are you
like,
kidding me?
Because I've done a lot of live podcasts. We haven't done one for Behind the Rose, but I've done a lot of live podcasts. Yeah. And there's, it's just such a rush and stuff. When you make people, like, you tell a story, make them laugh, and like, oh, it's so cool. It's
and yeah, some comics are, like, all storytellers where you just, like, are really good at taking them on a journey. But yeah, time, like, stops and you're just in this room just trying to make people happy. Like, I, it's a fucking orgasm. Like, it's the best thing ever. And then you, like, go back to your normal life. You're in the Uber and you're like, ah, fucking emails. But during those, like, 15 minutes, I'm just, like, in bliss. And even when you're bombing, you still feel so alive.
Yeah, totally. No, I
I'd rather
agree.
Bomb on, like, worst day on stage is better than, like, your best day on a Zoom call.
That's very true.
That is very true. Let's talk about your podcast. Well, you got two podcasts. You got Burning in Hell, which is the one that I've been on.
Yes.
It's an amazing podcast. It's so much fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Had a blast on that.
And Giggly Squad, right?
Yes, Giggly Squad with Paige, which started from... Did you, Eric, see season 4?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Great. Good. That's important to me. So season 4, it opens with Paige and I, like, giggling. We were, like, hammered. We've been drinking for, like, 5 hours. And this guy was, like, giving a speech about how he was, like, an amazing fiance. And we thought it was funny. And then he basically lost his mind because we were like giggled a little. And this was a long, it was a 10-minute speech. And he was like, fucking Giggly Squad, fuck you, Hannah, fuck you, Paige, like went off. And Eric, I did not respond back then because I was still behaving. I was behaving, which apparently is safer. But I then took the name Giggly Squad and monetized it.
That's fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm.
So he hates me, but it became like so much more than just, it started as a Instagram live every night at 10 PM where we were like, hey, it's a Giggly Squad. And we would just make fun of everything to try to make people laugh. Cause we were, you know, you're FaceTiming your friends during quarantine. And we were like, we should just go on live and let people listen to our stupid conversations. We went live for 3 months straight at 10 PM to the point that like
every day.
Every day of quarantine.
Oh, wow. That's a
every
lot.
Day, people were messaging, like, where are you guys? Like, it became like,
like
it was, quarantine was scary. So, like, having that time where everyone was on and we just talk shit and we'd be like, we're okay, right? We're okay. So then when we filmed Summer House, we couldn't keep doing it. So we turned it into a podcast. And anyway, yeah, so we just make fun of like pop culture and our own lives and shit.
I love that name too, Giggly
Squad. Giggly Squad.
That's so great.
I've also been, like, people used to make fun of me for giggling a lot. I think I have very nervous laughter sometimes. People always think I'm high because I'm giggling and eating, but like I can't smoke weed. I have panic attacks. But so when he said Giggly Squad, I was like, that is genius. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate
now look
that.
At you. Look at you now.
it giggles, is the root of a lot.
As she starts giggling.
But yeah, I think it's important to giggle. I'd rather no, but I'll like nervous giggle at bad times. It's something I'm working on.
Like when something serious is happening.
Yeah. Not great on reality TV. Like, she's such a bitch. I'm like, no, this is so I don't cry.
Exactly. Oh man. So everybody go check out Giggly Squad and Burning in Hell Pod. Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, we talked about a little bit about mental health and everything. If I know this could be kind of a hard question, but like if you had one like piece of advice for people who are going through it, which all of us at some point have, what would that advice be?
My advice would be that your brain is very malleable. So that means like your brain is always changing. So wherever you feel you are in that moment, you're never going to feel that exact same way again. And I think it's important to remember that because depression comes from like lack of hope, like just not having any more hope. And I'm letting you know, like scientifically, it's a fact that there's hope. Like you're not going to be in the same place twice. So yeah.
I've never heard that. Your brain is malleable. Because I completely agree. Like, as the lowest you feel right now, like that will pass kind of thing.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, those moments where you're just like, this is horrible and I can't live like this. And it's like, no one can live with that same feeling forever, but it won't be. Yeah. And things change on a dime. So yeah. And I'm going to try to take my advice too.
Right.
And now that you are engaged, do you guys have a date picked out?
May 2022. Yeah. Oh, nice. because we were first trying to do a little shotgun wedding because we thought we found like a cool venue, but then we realized maybe we should like date out of a pandemic before we get married. Because I'm like, what if he like snaps at waiters when he wants the check? Like, I can't, I need to like figure some shit out.
Are you guys looking for a DJ for?
Yeah, I will MC your wedding.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, we haven't like made that many decisions, but it's going to be lit.
I'm sure it's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit.
Sure, that'll be.
And also, before we get out of here, just because like I'm curious, where do you and Amanda stand like now? Like, where's this
friendship
at?
Here come the Summer House fan questions.
The funny thing with Amanda is I've never said a bad word about Amanda. And I like hope she's great. I just wouldn't know. If that makes sense.
That's fair enough. Fair enough.
And last one I've got. In your opinion, who is the bigger fuckboy, Luke or Blake?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Luke a bazillion percent. The receipts I have on that man, you have no idea. You've no fucking clue. I mean,
this is Bachelorette versus Blake, Summer House.
Stop there. No, Hannah, Blake. Stop. Hannah, stop there. Don't start backpedaling. You know, it's been said.
Oh, wait, sorry. I'm above it now. I'm above it. Some fucked up shit went down. But, Blake, can you be on podcasts with me more often? Because
yes,
that was healthy. That was really healthy. You should see my fiance will literally be like, no, no, no. And I'm like, I'm talking. And he'll run the room and be like, stop it. And I'm like, sorry.
Went to cryptocurrency, love advice.
We were all over the place today. I love it. This is a good pod.
Hell yeah.
I enjoyed this very much. Where can everybody find you? Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at beingburns, BeingBerNz, and then hannahburner.com for my tour dates to see if I'm coming to a city near you.
Yeah. Everybody go check her out on stand up. And yeah, I wish there was like a code word we could tell like our fans to like yell out. Like just start chirping you on stage.
Well, it's funny. A lot of people, Giggly Squad, they'll just be like, Giggly.
Oh, that's good. Giggly.
But I've actually, like, reality TV, everything, like, it's been a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Is Paige still single?
Yes.
Oh, let's
do a little.
Blake is as well.
You know what's very funny? I had multiple people message me after your pod being like, Blake and Paige.
Really?
And yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, she is a smoke.
She's great.
Gorgeous.
Maybe we'll have Blake on Giggly for a little.
Do it. Let's. Yes. I'll come on Giggly.
Okay, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do.
Now
we can't
nervous.
Tell her. No, we can't tell her that we're doing this. We have just come in like real casual. I'm gonna downplay it. I'll be like, yeah, he's like whatever. I don't even know who he is. He's fine. Whatever. And then she's like, he's cute. Why don't you tell me he's cute? I'm like, he's tall, but like whatever.
He wears backwards hats, but it's fine.
Backwards hats is like whatever. He ruined a couple girls' life on TV, but whatever.
It's a backwards hat that says bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
It's a fucking goal. Brand.
You,
okay, guys?
You really like teeter the line. Every now and then I'm like, is he tricking us all?
It's a skill. It's a gift of mine.
You got to keep people on their toes.
Yeah, teeter on that line of like.
But our identities are complex. People are not black and white, and I hope everyone is growing.
Amen. Well, awesome, Hannah. This was so much fun. We'd love to have you. Maybe we'd have you on because you watch The Bachelor. Maybe for a recap.
Yeah, I would love to.
Oh my God, that'd be so fun.
I'd love to talk some shit.
We'll do that. And if you ever come to Denver, perform all that stuff. We're gonna come out that way. Hopefully, maybe in July or something.
Bounce is opening up Montauk.
Oh,
Bounce
shit.
Club, nightclub.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
I used to work across the street from Blounce. Yeah, Bounce, DJing. Bounce.
Out there.
Yeah, that some sketchy shit happens at
Bounce.
Yeah,
and if you guys ever
Bounce
need a DJ for the house,
that'd be little good. Pool
that'd be great.
Parties.
Put that in Bravo's ear.
It just has to be non-copyrighted music, okay?
That's fine. This will be the first time Blake could play his original shit.
Yeah.
Which would be the worst thing ever. Just never
you guys never shit. Have like real, like we have dance parties to just beats.
Yeah.
Because they have to be not copied.
Because there's somebody over there with like pushing buttons.
Yeah.
And then
we'll
just
discuss.
Sound a horn.
I love the collaboration of Bravo and The Bachelor. This is important. This is powerful.
Is game changer.
Game changer. Well, thanks so much, guys.
If you ever need me on Giggly Squad.
Hell yes.
You'll never need me, but
I thought Eric was trying to hit on Paige. I was like, Eric, you can just shoot your shot.
That bar is way too high.
Eric, you have to believe in yourself.
I'm about to go creep on Instagram. Like, I don't want
to be... Oh my God. Oh my God. This is exciting. I love matchmaking. It's
same.
I'm,
same.
It's
my that's why I had to shoot the shot for him.
It's good karma. Right.
He doesn't know yet.
No, they'd be aesthetically very cute on Instagram, at least, which is
that's all
the most fashionable person and the guy who doesn't know a fucking thing about fashion.
I wear t-shirts, cowboy boots, and jeans, and a backwards hat.
Yeah,
oh my God. He's consistent.
Yeah, very, very consistent. Too
consistent. Oh fuck! I'm gonna start blushing, so I'm gonna get off the pod. It's been fun.
Oh my God! Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.